In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. This parable we hear today, of the wise and foolish virgins, figures very prominently in the hymns of Holy Week, and rightfully so. Its theme of being prepared to meet Christ, for in the cross and in the resurrection we do meet Christ. Its imagery of the wedding banquet and of watchfulness. And this parable is used not only in many of the lesser hymns, but it's the foundation of that beautiful tropar, "Behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight, and blessed is the servant whom he shall find watching." And to understand what our Savior's parable is teaching us, it helps to understand some of the symbolism. The five wise and the five foolish virgins, well, they're humanity. They stand for us. And the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Very common image in Scripture, Christ is the groom, the church, the people are his bride. And so the virgins waiting for the bridegroom is humanity waiting for the second coming of Christ. And it says they fell asleep, and that symbolizes our own death. We work for a while in this world, we fall asleep in the Lord, and then it says that at midnight they are awoken with the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." And that awakening is when humanity is raised from the dead. And we are called to encounter Christ. And even the fact that Jesus chose midnight symbolizes it's an hour when you don't know when it's coming. It's an hour and a time when you don't know and when you don't expect. And then, of course, his guests are escorted into that wedding banquet, into the kingdom of heaven. And so the structure of the parable is that we live life in this world. At some point, we fall asleep. At some point, we die. And at some point further, Christ will return and we will be raised. That's the basic structure of this parable. But this is then where we get to that curious part of the story, the heart of the story about the oil lamps. Each one in the story has an oil lamp, and that lamp represents your soul. And only if your soul is burning bright, only if your soul is shining with light, are we granted entrance into that kingdom of heaven. Well, what's needed for an oil lamp to burn brightly? Well, oil. And this is where the Savior's story gets most interesting. Only half of them have oil. The other half don't. The other half have lamps, souls that are dark. Now, in the story, it's because they brought no oil. But in life, what makes a soul dark, really? What makes a soul not shine? The oil in the story represents mercy. Mercy is what makes your heart shine. And in fact, in Greek, the words for oil and the word for mercy have the same root. They are related. It's a laos and a leison, if you're interested. But the word mercy and the word oil share a similar meaning. And what makes the soul shine in the story is mercy in your life. What makes you shine is the mercy you have for others. And therefore, the five foolish people in the story were foolish because they had no mercy. Their souls were dark, and they were terrified to go meet Christ without a shining soul. And this brings up a part of the story I don't want anyone getting confused about. The foolish virgins ask the wise to share. They say, "Can we please have some of your oil?" And the wise ones say, "No, there's not going to be enough for us and for you." And this is not a lesson about sharing. And that's where sometimes people get confused. It's not about saying, "I'm not going to share with you." It has a symbolic meaning. And what it means is that your neighbor's faith, your neighbor's virtue, will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Your soul will not be bright just because, for example, your grandmother had a merciful soul herself. You have to be merciful yourself. Once there was a young man trying to get hired by a legal firm. His mother was a superior court judge in the state of Pennsylvania. She was well respected. While she was a lawyer, she had done lots of pro bono, free work for the poor. She was involved in all kinds of charitable projects. Her son, while brilliant in books, was a bit of a slacker. He didn't do a whole lot for others. He got into trouble a little bit, and he didn't build up any kind of resume that showed anything other than decent grades. But he had never done anything for anybody else. And so when he went to this law firm, the hiring manager started to ask him, "Well, what kind of other things have you done with your life?" Well, he didn't have anything to say, so he started talking about, "Well, you know, my mother's the superior court judge, and she's done these projects." And the hiring manager said, I'm not hiring your mother. I'm hiring you. Come back when you've done something worthwhile. And I think there's a great life lesson there. We can't rely on other people's virtue for our own soul to shine. We have to have that mercy ourselves. And with your soul, you don't know when the Lord is coming. You don't know if there will be a time to come back later. You don't know when you'll breathe your last, so the time to be merciful is now. And mercy is shown in how well you forgive. Mercy is shown in how you help the poor now. Mercy is shown in how loving we are to irritating people. Not just tolerant, mind you, but actually actively loving. Mercy is compassion and empathy. Mercy is being able to see the world from behind the other person's eyes. You know, God sends rain on the just and the unjust. God gives breath to the kind and the unkind, and God welcomes sinners and saints. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for the righteous and the unrighteous. The heart of the matter is that Jesus is mercy. Jesus Christ is mercy incarnate. And the reason we pray, Lord, have mercy so many times in church is not just a request. We are affirming our Lord's very nature. You know, when those five foolish virgins get to the wedding hall and knock on the door, Jesus says, I don't know you. He doesn't say that because it's too dark. He says that because without mercy, they're nothing like him. Without mercy, they have ceased being recognizable as the people they were created to be. We don't know the exact time when the Lord will come to claim us. Behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight. But when he does, your neighbor's virtue, your grandma's mercy, it's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. The time then to be merciful, to let your soul shine, is now. Amen.